Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. Here we are, Mikey, previewing another Ravens game. There are two of them every year. They usually don't come this close together. But on the road to Baltimore, and as we were talking about this morning on the morning show, where you were listening to me talk, don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We have a pretty good idea, but nothing official has come from the Steelers yet on that. Don't know if who the starting wide receivers are going to be. Don't know if Maurkice Pouncey is going to be a center or guard Sunday or moving forward. But what we do know is that a 10-6 record for the Pittsburgh Steelers that includes a win over the Cincinnati Bengals is good for a playoff spot. Now, there are other situations, I'm sure.
We know that for a fact, or we just kind of
assuming? We know that for a fact. I mean, there is no way that they cannot make the playoffs at 10-6 if they beat the Bengals.
Because there's too many seven-loss teams.
And right. There are no other six-loss teams. Well,
except Miami.
Yes.
Miami's 5-6. Bengals are 6-5. Steelers are 6-5. Colts are 7-4.
Well, let me say this. I'm not anticipating the Dolphins winning out. If they do, I don't know what that scenario is. I might have to look at that.
The coach did go to W&J.
Who?
Philbin.
So what's that mean?
It means he learned a little about Western Pennsylvania football, I assume. So
yeah,
put anything past those Miami Fish.
You can know all the football you want, but when you're going in with Ryan Tannehill, that's kind of like.
I think he's only got to play New England twice the rest of the way. So.
Let's pencil them right in. So anyway, thanks for elucidating that for me there. But I'm going to stick with what I say. If the Steelers,
I think your statement is very similar to the quarterback statement. It's very likely how it's going to end up.
Yes,
but
nothing official.
Not
yet.
Quite in stone.
Do you? I don't know. I don't really have a real strong sense that the Steelers are going to win Sunday. Do you?
You know, I haven't even thought about it in those terms, believe it or not. And the vibe I'm getting around here this week is the Ravens game is almost secondary, almost, because it's still a one-loss business, and that's what will always matter the most. But the whole drill here this week to me seems to be let's get it together. Time to iron out the wrinkles, time to button down, time to get on the details, time to figure it out by any means necessary, time to start locking and loading and hunting what you started this process back in the springtime. Start going after that with vengeance and focus and discipline. You know, the all-pro center might play guard.
Yes.
The third-string quarterback might get yanked in favor of a guy who's been here for, I think, 9 days now. The wide receiver might not be the starting wide receiver. And by the way, he's tied for the team lead in touchdown receptions, and he leads the team in receiving yards. But his performance is being universally accepted as not good enough. The first-string running back is now the third-string running back.
In a week, too.
I mean, things are happening. And I think the common theme in all of these things happening is what we've seen on the field of late is not good enough to chase a Lombardi. And it's time to start playing good enough to chase a Lombardi. And if that can be achieved, the rest of it takes care of itself.
Because as weird as it sounds, if the Steelers buckle it down, as you just mentioned, and they get some of these injured guys back, which does seem imminent now at this point, Troy, Antonio Brown, Ben is moving in that area. I mean, any thought or suggestion that he's going to miss the rest of the season to me is ludicrous at this point.
Well, I still haven't heard anybody say he's coming back.
I understand that as well. I think, though, that once you factor all those things in to this, it is not as a ridiculous suggestion that maybe the Steelers can contend for a Lombardi.
No question. We've seen it too many times with too many –
too many different teams.
It is now very possible. The old days of there's two or three teams on each side that even have a chance
And you got to be a number one seed to get
home
in.
Home field means everything, and that stuff's gone. I don't know when it went away, but it's been gone for a while now. Too many wild cards do exceptionally well. Too many low seeds do exceptionally well. Is it low seed or high seed if you're number five?
See, to me, that's a low seed.
But you want to be a low seed, like a low
one,
number,
yeah, right.
Because those are the higher.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. But yeah, and again, you're talking about
that screws me up in March too. By the way, those 5-12 matchups.
Right, which is the higher seeded team, I'm doing this only under protest. It's been like this in baseball too lately, where the teams that win the World Series or get to the World Series are often the ones that have to play really well down the stretch just to get in. And then they take that momentum and just go with it. That's what happened to the Giants last year. That's what happened to the Packers the year before that. That's what happened to the Steelers in 2005. Your playoffs almost start December 1st, and before you know it, it's the end of January, and if sometimes you find yourself in the last game on the first Sunday in February. So
yeah, and sometimes even of late we've seen the bye work against teams. Whereas
right.
You figure at the end of the year, that's when you're at your most beat up, so that's when it should be its most valuable, the bye. And the other valuable part of it is you can't get eliminated that weekend if you don't play. But, you got it rolling along, and then you play the last game like a fifth preseason game because it doesn't mean anything to you.
Right.
Then you take a week off. Now you got to try to get it back together against this club that comes rolling downhill.
Because they've had to probably play well just to get in, and then they had to win their first playoff game, which
– So how big an advantage is it?
Right.
That's why it's so compelling.
Yeah.
And you look at just the components the Steelers are on the verge of adding back. I don't think anybody in football wouldn't respect what those guys have meant over the years and what they could mean this postseason.
But focusing more specifically on the Ravens this Sunday, the way I see this game, when you look at the Ravens team, what they have shown to this point in the season, they are much more explosive and efficient offensively at home. So I don't believe, as well as the Steelers' defense has been playing, I don't believe it's another 13-10 game at M&T Bank Stadium. And because I don't know if the Steelers are going to be able to muster enough offense points to win the game. Now, if they do, I think we will be looking back on it a lot like the way the Steelers have lost some games to teams that were clearly inferior to them. There's going to have to be some sort of disaster by the Ravens. Maybe the Ravens give up a kick return for a touchdown. Maybe the Ravens give up, an offensive touchdown. I mean, to the Steelers' defense scores one.
Any chance they're not all that interested?
No.
Coming off a tough stretch.
I don't believe that.
Basically having a division locked up and having just beat these guys 2 weeks ago.
Was there any lack of interest in 2003? When the Steelers were, 6-9?
Okay.
And the Ravens, I mean, I just think that.
I was just throwing that out there.
If the Ravens had eliminated the Steelers from the playoffs a couple of times, maybe. But when you lose trophy presentation games to your bitter rival, you lose single elimination games to your bitter rival.
Even when you've beaten them three in a row and they're an afterthought as far as.
But then they get to keep playing.
Competition.
Those other games, you didn't get to keep playing. Yeah. I still.
Because, that emotional, sometimes you go and hit that emotional gas pedal and the tank's empty. It happens to everybody at some point of a year.
Yeah.
No chance that happens to Baltimore this week.
No, I would be stunned. To me, I think that, when you're faking extra points in the season opener up 28 to whatever
it
was,
good point.
I don't know. I just think that they have not gotten over that. Again, seeing Troy Polamalu dance down the sideline in the 2008 AFC Championship game, then in 2010, they truly believe that was their Super Bowl. Because if they don't lose to the Steelers, they get the New York Football Jets. And I don't think anybody didn't want to play the New York Football Jets in another trophy game. So, I think the Ravens, and they're these Ravens, the John Harbaugh Ravens, think the Steelers have cost them two Super Bowls. And so, no, I don't anticipate any mental or emotional trough for them. But
because that would certainly help.
Oh, yeah. If
catch them snoozing for a quarter and a half or a first half and take advantage of that. But, yeah, probably at home, probably not.
Probably not. I don't know. I think the Ravens offensively are going to come out throwing, trying to attack, maybe even no huddle early.
Certainly, that's been their tendency. They like that no huddle at home. And Joe Flacco seems to be a fearless player at home. He seems to be a really good player at home, a very accurate player at home, a very aggressive player at home. But, you know, I think we could sum up this Baltimore team on one play.
Fourth and 29. Yep.
There have been so many times, you look at them, they're not that impressive on paper. Their resumes aren't what they used to be. They don't have the style and the absolute rubber stamp identity that they used to have. These guys keep finding ways to win football games all year long, and that fourth and 29 is the latest example and probably the most profound example. Losing to the Chargers, if they don't convert, the game is over. And all it was a little dump down to Ray Rice, and he did the rest.
And right, and I honestly believe, you know, I don't think that in his heart of hearts, Joe Flacco thought this has a chance. I think that was a give up last option. I can't run for it. Maybe you can, but I don't think there was any realistic expectation at the time of the pass thrown that this was going to work. But I do think, again, when you're talking about the kind of Ravens team this is, the fact that then the rest of the guys on the field rallied to try and do something to make it that play is if they have a special quality, that is it to me.
Well, the funny part, San Diego played that like it was a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Three-man rush and just everybody way back, umbrella. Yeah. And the rush wasn't getting there because it was a three-man rush. So Flacco's sitting back there. Going downfield is a total crapshoot because all the defenders are back there. So he dumps it down to Ray Rice. When he catches that ball, Lab, there is 25 yards between Ray Rice and the closest San Diego defender. Now, in front of him, there was a guy pursuing number 95. I forget his name. It's a defensive lineman. He's not going to catch Ray Rice. So he starts running straight as far as he can. They're coming at him. Three guys come at him. Left turn, Clyde. I mean a hard left. Now he's running sideways. He's following the yard line at about the 50. And then he gets an angle on the other guys pursuing. Anquan Boldin comes flying back from wherever he was. And I thought it was a block in the back on Eric Weidel, but it didn't get called that way. Still, he was doing everything he could, as you just said, to try to help his teammate. And then the last thing to do is split a couple of guys who were standing right in front of where the sticks are. And he blasts through them and bounces, and they gave him the bounce on the spot. I thought it was a bad spot, and then the crack officiating crew moved the chains, then tried to move them back after reviewing it to remeasure. Now, once you move them, they're moved. They're not going to be in the same spot. But it was still a phenomenal play by the Ravens, and the kind of thing they've been doing. They've been finding a way.
Yeah.
And you do that a couple, three times, you start believing you will do that. And that makes you a very dangerous football team.
And once regular refs come back, we won't have that problem anymore about the moving the chains and stuff.
They're back.
Really?
Yeah, that was regular refs.
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
They snuck that one by me. Okay.
Snuck a few things by a few people since they've come back. But, you know, that Baltimore's got some intangibles going.
Yes.
And that's
when intangibles become something that you're able to call upon week after week after week, that becomes a characteristic of the team, and that is every bit as valuable as a pass rusher or a good possession receiver. I mean, it's every much a part of winning as a player or strategy or anything like that. So
if we learn anything from that, it's if you get them in fourth and 29 with the game on the line, play it like a regular play and take your chances that you don't give up 29 yards.
Or
don't give them the first 20 just because.
Or, I mean, there may be some people that you're capable of kind of ignoring. Ray Rice is not one of them. I mean, you want to identify three people on the Ravens offense who can hurt you with the football in their hands, if you're not mentioning Ray Rice, you didn't do a very good job of scouting. You're not paying very close attention. So as you said, that play capsulizes the Ravens, I also think it capsulizes the San Diego football Chargers, who should be roadkill coming in here December 9th or 8th or whatever that is.
I think it's the 9th.
Okay. But, you know, let's get through this Baltimore game. I'm interested to see if the Steelers do buckle it down, get on their details. And I'm like you. It's not that the winning doesn't matter, because that's stupid to even say that or imply it. But to me, like the coach in Hoosiers says at the end, if we do our best and we give everything we have, whatever it says on the scoreboard, you guys are winners in my book. That's what the Steelers need to do. They need to play well.
That was impressive.
You like that one? What was his name again? The coach,
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, I know, but that was Coach
Normandale.
Normandale, yes, there it is. Well, on that note,
punched the kid at Ithaca.
Yeah,
I think was that kid was one of the toughest players I ever had. Sometimes at night, I can still see my fist hitting him in the face. I love you guys.
That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta,
listen,
I'm Bob Labriola.
For all the small schools, never had a chance to get this far.
Coach, I can make it, said Jimmy Chitwood.
Don't get caught watching the paint dry.
Talk to you soon.